Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Tmura Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin at the very top of Daf Ches. However, we find ourselves in the middle of a discussion. Toward the end of our previous shiur at the end of Daf Zayin Omid Beis, we saw a comment made by Rav Nachman concerning a Mishnah that had said that a firstborn male animal, a bechor, can be sold tam chai. Namely, in an unblemished state, it can be sold. Regarding that particular point of law, Rav Nachman said this ability to sell a tam chai is only bizman hazeh, nowadays when there is no Beis HaMikdash, and it is therefore not destined to be sacrificed on the altar. And as a result of its non-destiny for altar, it is characterized as being something a Kohen has a holding in. He is zoche in it mechayim. Therefore, it is something that is bearing in mind or that the Kohen is able to acquire it, and it's as a result of its non-destiny for the Mizbeach, it can be sold to a Kohen. However, if we were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, since an unblemished firstborn male animal, a Bechor, is designed or destined to be sacrificed, that is its destiny, and therefore it cannot be sold to a Kohen. The Gemara raises a series of questions on Rav Nachman. Each question is then met with a response. These are indicated by our markings through triangles with the point facing upwards. They are kashas on Rav Nachman. These are attempts to show that a Kohen has a zechiyah in a Bechor Tam, even Bizman Beis HaMikdash. Rav Nachman maintained that a Kohen Bizman Beis HaMikdash does not have a zechiyah, doesn't have a claim of ownership to a onto an unblemished Bechor. When the triangle form, the triangle shape faces down, the point faces down, that represents responses or answers. So we continue with this series of give and take, back and forth, question-answer approach that we started on Zayin Amud Beis here at the top of Daf Ches. This, you should note, is a long question, and we have that indicated with an encircled kuf with a descending vertical dashed line. We also have numbered the questions with little numbers in triangles to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We also noted in our previous shiur that this system of questions and answers continues till Daf Ches Omid Beis. So we continue now with the top line, Eisvei. Bevechor ne'emar lo yisifdeh. Regarding a Bechor, the Torah says it is not to be redeemed. The nimkar hu, it can be sold. Rashi adds on the second line from the top, avol nimkar hu, v'nechal b'kedusha, it shall be eaten with the appropriate sanctity. V'zuhi kedusha, shelo yishchetena b'itliz, v'lo yishkelenu b'litra. It's not to be slaughtered in a butcher shop, nor shall it be weighed out. So now the Gemara proceeds to analyze under what circumstances is this source speaking. B'may askinon, under what are we talking about? Im leimo bizman hazeh, if one were to think that this is a nowadays source, emo seifa, continue reading the end of the pasuk. Usually seifa means the end of the source, but here it's a reference to continue reading the pasuk that was quoted in this source, namely lo siftet, goes on to say, Bez domam tizrok al hamizbeach, and you shall sprinkle their blood of the firstborns on the altar. Bezman hazeh mi yikom mizbeach, nowadays is there a mizbeach? No, of course not. Ela pshita bizman shebeis hamigdash kayam. This source is talking about a beis hamigdash time period. Uvemai. Now, what kind of bechor are we talking about? Blemished or unblemished? Ilema babal mum. If you were to think that we're talking about a blemished firstborn, well, emo seifa. Once again, look at the end of this pasuk. The pasuk that the source quoted continues to say, "Bez domam tizrok ala mizbeach, bez chelbam taktir." You shall sprinkle its blood on the altar, and its fats you offer on the fire. Well, the e bibal mum. If we were talking about a blemished bechor in this source, mi chazilak rava would be fit for being offered el olav. So rather, you must conclude bitam. It's talking about an unblemished bechor, the katoni nimkar hu, and it says here that it can be sold. So we're saying, unlike Rav Nachman, here we have a source saying that we're talking about a Bechor Tam Bizman Beis HaMikdash, an unblemished firstborn male animal during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, and it says it can be sold. That is unlike Rav Nachman. The Gemara responds, Midi Irya, Reisha Bebal Mum, Seifo Betam, who says that the Reisha and Seifa are speaking about the same circumstances. No, Reisha of the Pasuk, the beginning of the Pasuk, from which we were medayak that it can be sold, that's Bebal Mum. That's something that's not destined to the altar, and hence a Kohen does have a holding in it, and it can therefore be sold to a Kohen. However, the Seifa is talking about a Tam, an unblemished animal, and that's the reference in the Pasuk to the sprinkling of the blood and offering on the Mizbeach. So we don't have any evidence from this source that a Bechor Tam can be sold. Continuing, Bechor Tam, of course, during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Mosiv Rav Misharshi, again, take note of the fact that we have a long question on our hands. The kuf that appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text and the descending vertical line indicate the length. Mosiv Rav Misharshia. Kohenes shenis arva vlado bivlad shivchosa. Two women gave birth under circumstances where their newborns got mixed up. So you have a kohenes, that's a woman who is whose child would be a kohen, and a shivcha, her bondmaid, and they both gave birth, and their children got mixed up. Higdilu hataruvos, when they become of age, they become adults. Mishachrin ze eze, they then would offer a document of freedom, freeing each other. Namely, we don't know which one is the eved. In other words, the son of the shivcha of the bondmaid is a slave. So we don't know which one is which. So each one offers a document of freedom, that's shichrur, one to the other. Ushnehem oichlin betruma, and both will eat truma as long as this freedom hasn't been done. They are entitled to eat truma. The kohen eats truma because he's a kohen, and the child of the shivcha eats because he is the child of the shivcha of a kohen. And the possessions of a kohen, slaves that a kohen owns, are also entitled to eat truma. V'chokin chilek echad al agoren, they receive one portion. In other words, if two kohanim came to receive portions, they would receive two portions. But here we're dealing with the eved of a kohen, the son of the shivcha, is an eved of a kohen, and therefore he doesn't get a portion on his own. He gets together with his master a singular portion, and they can divide that. B'choyron yiru ad shi'istavu. If they have firstborn animals, they will graze until they develop a blemish. V'yochlu b'mumon, and they will be able to eat the b'chor with the blemish. Outside the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, it's something that you can eat as without having to worry about it being slaughtered in the as a sacrifice. So now we delve into the details of this source, the circumstances. B'mai Askinon. In Leimo B'zman Hazeh, if this were a nowadays a current source, then my shno didon u my shno didhu didon nami mumin boinon. What's the unique feature of this particular child mix-up with regard to the need for a blemish? Why is that case featured? Ours, anyone's b'chor would have to wait until it gets a mum. So that the fact that this source is featuring the need to wait for a mum, a blemish, to develop, it's apparently not talking about nowadays. Because if it were, then there would be no need to make a distinction or a feature such a case of a mix-up of children. El olav bizman shebeis hamikdash kayim. It must be talking about the time of the Beis HaMikdash. The Rashi explains, El olav bizman hamikdash, v'didon have yavinon l'koye la'kruve. Our b'chor, in other words, a standard b'chor situation during the zman of the Beis HaMikdash, you would give it immediately to a kohen. That's yavinon l'koye la'kruve. He would then offer it, because that's the standard procedure with firstborn male animals. They're presented to a kohen, and he brings it as a sacrifice. V'ilu didhu, however, with regard to theirs, so zochi lahu, they gain ownership of it. Afagav the kohen nami chayevis behemta b'vachoro k'damina b'vachoros perik shein shnei b'mishnah lo niftu elu mipidyan aben u'peter chamor. Nevertheless, even though we know that a kohen who has his own b'chor animal born is chayev to set it aside as a b'chor offering, hani yiru, these will graze. Mishum de b'shar b'choros kohen eino mafsid klum. In a standard b'chor situation, a kohen doesn't lose out. He simply offers it, and the innards he puts on the mizbeach, and eats it for himself. Avolhani, the ikot sad, the zar, in this case where you have the son of the Shivcha, who, if when freed, becomes a non-Kohen, ihavi yave b'chorim l'kruve, sulo achli minei. If they would give it to be offered, so he wouldn't be able to eat from it. The b'chor tam b'zman ha-mikdash eino nechal l'zorim. B'chor tam, when it's offered in the Beis HaMikdash, a zar cannot eat from it. Kinamir b'zim mekoimon. Ha-b'chor nechal l'kohenim. Therefore, in this case, Yir'eh, it shall graze, u'chsoiv yochlenu b'mumo, it shall then be eaten with the blemish. The chochad v'chad omar l'kohen, each one says to a kohen who comes to them to collect this b'chor, well, each one of these in the mix-up will be able to say, ani kohen, u'b'chor ani ochlenu, it's I am a kohen, and I'm going to eat from the b'chor. Given the nafal bo mum, ein bo elo iser gezel. And since a mum develops, there's no longer a sacrificial aspect to it. It's just a question of ownership. V'ocha iser gezel nami leko. And in this case, with the mix-up of children, there's also no problem of theft. D'shemo ze kohen v'zocha bo v'amotzi mechaver lo v'raya. Each one claims he is a kohen. So that this source, which speaks about the animal belonging to this mix-up of children, their animal is to graze. and till it gets a mum, and that way each one of them can benefit from the meat. And that's why the source features it's being sent out to graze. So now we continue. E Amris, and back in the Gemara, third wide line at the end. E Amris Bishlamo is lehu lekayin zechia begave. If you are to say, unlike Rav Nachman, that a kohen in the zman of the Beis Hamikdash has a holding on it, even if it's a bechor tam shapir, then I understand this source, and therefore the kohen has the power to delay things, to keep it around and say, I might be the Kohen and I'm Zoche in it. I have an ownership in it. And I'm not giving it to some other Kohen, and I'm going to wait until it develops a mum. In other words, he can call the shots. If you, however, say that he does not, that a Kohen Bizman Mikdash does not have a holding in it, that it's something that's destined to go to the altar, then in this case, Lacey Gizbar Velishkula, let the treasurer of the Beis HaMikdash come and take it away and give it to a clear Kohen. So from the fact that we see in this source that the in the source of the mix-up of children, that the Kohen who is there, who's one of these two is a definite Kohen, he is able to withhold the animal for himself and call the shots, so to speak, and say, we're going to wait till it gets a mum. This shows us that he has a holding in it. Because otherwise, the Gizbar of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple treasurer, would simply be able to come along and take it away and give it to an obvious Kohen. So that is the question on Rav Nachman. We see, once again, from here, that the Kohen Bizman Beis HaMikdash has a holding on a Bechor. Bechor Tam. The Gemara rejects this. Li'olam Bizman Azeh. This is a nowadays source. U'dekokashilach Maishno Didon U'maishno Didhu. And if you'll ask, well, why is the mix-up story featured when our animals, the standard people's bechor, as well, have to wait till they get a mum, till they a blemish develops? The answer to that is, we are talking bizman hazeh, and still there is a difference. Anan yavinon le lekayin bemumayhu. We would give it away to a Kohen when it gets a mum. In who, they, in the mix-up case, kevon de'ikavu mixas kahuna, mifka le mikoyhanim. Since one of them is a Kohen, we just don't know which one, so they push off all the other Kohanim, and it's not given to other Kohanim. Hence, we see a difference between the mix-up case and our standard Bechor situations. And that's why this source is featuring the case of the mix-up of children, and the way we deal with their Bechor, in fact, is different. And that is, they keep it until it gets a mum, whereas our Bechor, if it was a standard situation, the owner would have to give it away, give it to a proper Kohen. According to the Magiyim, you have here the Shita Mekubetzes, or let's more accurately point out, it's from the Bach, Os Aleph. He has he adds here a little word, Lishnachrina, he adds E Bizman Hazeh. This is a different version of what we had just learned, but he says anyway, the Gemara goes on, this second Lashon, by the way, we indicate to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2, whereas on the second wide line, opposite the second wide line of the Gemara, we had positioned a Roman numeral number 1. So this is a second version of the preceding Gemara. E bizman hazeh, if the source that we learned with the mix-up of the children was a current-day source, ma'ir b'choros d'holin sveikos, why speak about the firstborn of the doubtful children, afilu didon namiru, our animals would also have to be set out to graze. And yet the source features the case of a grazing b'chor, specifically in the case of the mix-up of children situation. Therefore, it leads us to conclude, Elo Pshito Bizman Beis HaMikdash Kayam. We're talking about a Beis HaMikdash source. And then the difference is clear. Our standard b'chor would be given to the Beis HaMikdash, given to a Kohen, to be offered on the altar. Well, the E B'Baal Mum, and the if the source above was talking about a blemished b'chor, then Yiru Ad She Yisto Avu, why does it say it grazes until it gets a mum? Yisto Avu means develops a blemish. Ha Misu Avin V'Kayamin, it's already with a blemish. So it can't be talking about a Lepshita B'Tamin. The source above is describing a Tam. V'Halin Hu Dolo Motzi Mizavni, Ha Kayanim Vadoyin Mizavninan Mizavnin, and it's pointed out that they in the case of the mix up of children, they do not sell, but a Kohen Vadai would be able to sell, and that presents a problem for Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman claimed that a Kohen, a regular Kohen, is not allowed to sell a Bechor Tam during the Zman of the Beis HaMikdash. Li'oilom Bizman Hazeh, the defense of Rav Nachman says, no, that the source, in fact, is nowadays. My Kashiloch, you were bothered then by that afilu dilon nami yiru, that our firstborn male animals would also have to set out to graze until they develop a mum. And so why is it featuring the mix-up case? There still is a difference. Lo motzinu matchis le lekayin, the lo is kan sofe kahuna. When it comes to our standard b'choros, we wouldn't be able to push off a Kohen who comes to claim or collect the b'chor from us non-Kohanim. However, hani sveikos madchu l'kohen, the case of the mix-up children situation can push off any other Kohen who comes to collect. Kohad v'chad omalei l'kohen, each one would say to an outside Kohen who tries to come to collect his b'chor, and they would say, da'no Kohen v'no Kohen, each one says, I'm a Kohen, and therefore the b'chor is mine and not yours. So, up till now, we've seen questions and responses. Rav Nachman answers back that we are not seeing in this last case a source talking about Zman Beis HaMikdash. Meisvei, Rav Shimon Omer. This Rav Shimon quotes a posuk from an Ir Hanidachas. Ir Hanidachas is a city that was engaged in idol worship, and the Torah law regarding such a city is that all of its contents, its portables, the items that are owned by the members of the Ir Hanidachas, all of the possessions of that city are to be burnt, destroyed through burning. So Reb Shimon says, quotes a pasuk by the Ir Hanidachas, which says, Behemta, its animals, the animals owned by the city folk, they are destroyed. Prat lebehemas b'chor u'maiser sheba, to the exclusion of firstborn male animals in the Ir Hanidachas, they are not called the city's animals. They are holy. Meiser is the reference to the Meiser Behemo, the tithe of one-tenth of any given year's births of animals is also set aside as a korban. The pasuk says, Shlala, from which we exclude Shlal Shamayim, things that are possessions of the holy of the Almighty, Shlal Shamayim, that Prat Lekesef Meiser Sheni Shaba, to the exclusion of Kesef Meiser Sheni, that's a reference to money or cash, onto which the tithe, the Meiser Sheni tithe, was redeemed. So the cash that absorbed the redemption of the Meiser Sheni is considered Momon Govoa. That having been said, we now analyze the circumstances. We want to focus on the Bechor example in this source. B'mai askinan. Ilem o bizman hazeh. If you think this is a nowadays source, would you think that there is even a possibility of a place being declared a city of idolatry? V'atnan, we have a Mishnah that says, Ein oisin ir anidachas el lebezin shel shivim ve'echad. We cannot declare a city to be an ir anidachas unless it's through the ruling of the great Sanhedrin of 71 judges. And we know that nowadays we don't have a Sanhedrin. Elo, pshito, bizman shebeis hamigdash kayam. So it is obvious that this source that Reb Shimon spoke in is a Beis Hamikdash time period. Uvemai, I nemo bebalmum, if the Bechor referenced in the source was a blemished Bechor, hainu behem ta, then it is theirs. It's not legovoa. It's not something that is has a holy aspect to it. And as such, it is behemta. It's part of the possessions of the city, and it shall be destroyed. And you wouldn't be able to say prat to the exclusion of a... When the pasuk says behemta, we're excluding a blemished bechor. When a blemished bechor is something that is not offered as a sacrifice, they would eat it. So what must the source be speaking about? Ela pshita betam. We're talking about an unblemished firstborn male animal during the time of the Beis Hamikdash. The E Amrus Bishlamo is Lehu Zechiyo Begave. If you say that Kohanim have a holding in it, have an element of ownership in it, Shapir, then I understand why I need a special verse, a special pasuk, namely Behemta, to exclude it from being destroyed. Because we're describing essentially something that's owned by a Kohen who's an inhabitant of that Ir HaNidachas, and we're sparing it from destruction. When at the same time we know that all items owned by city folk of an idolatrous city are destroyed. So if you say that the Kohen has it, it's considered his owned item, he has a zechiyo begaveh, then the only reason not to have the animal killed is because of a special scriptural reference, namely behemta. Elohi amris les lay, if you say, like Rav Nachman said, that a Kohen bizman beis hamikdash does not have any holding in the Bechor Tam, Lomo Li Mi Behemta. What do I need a special scriptural reference to spare the animal? Tepuk Lei, it could have been learned from the other word, Mi Shlolo, Velo Shlal Shamayim. Shlolo means the spoils of the city, or items owned by the city folk. And it's that word is in the possessive. It's booty, so to speak, or its possessions, and from that we infer velo shlal shamayim, not things that are holy and relevant to the shamayim, to the Almighty. So that if you were to say, let's just to go over this last point, that a Kohen does not have a holding in an unblemished Bechor at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, it would be obvious from the word shlala that it's not destroyed. Because if a Kohen had no holding in it, it's destined to be a sacrifice, a straight out sacrifice without any ownership on the part of the Kohen. And therefore it's part of shlal shamayim and not shlala. So from the fact that we need a special or an extra word to exclude the Bechor Tam, it indicates to us that it's something that is held by the Kohen, and nevertheless, it is not destroyed. The Gemara rejects this in defense of Rav Nachman le'olam bebal mum. We're talking about a blemished animal. And then you ask them, oh, why should it be spared? It is behemta. Why is it saved? Why is it spared? So to this we answer that it is spared because it's not exactly regular a regular piece of owned common item. It's not a common item. In what sense? Mi shenechal b'toras behemta. What kind of animals are destroyed? Animals that are destroyed, animals that you would eat without any restrictions. Yatsu b'choru meiser, to the exclusion of a b'chor and meiser, even if they happen to be blemished. She'eno necholin b'toras behemta. They are not eaten as you would eat standard meat. Desnan, we have a Tanaic source that says kol psua mukdashim in korn be'itlis v'nishkolim b'litra. All psula mikdashim, those are animals that were set aside as sacrifices and became blemished, they're sold in butcher shops and they're weighed on scales by allowing meat to be sold in a shop and weighed out as opposed to approximation. People will pay more for it, so that a person will redeem his psula hamukdashim, spending more money on its redemption because he knows he'll be able to sell it and make money from it. Chutz min habechor u'meiser, those are animals that are owned exclusively by the kohen or the meiser. In the case of meiser behema, by the owner himself. The hano, the benefit, doesn't, and there's no benefit, because since these are animals that are not redeemed, the Bechor and the Meiser, they're not redeemed, the only one who benefits from it is the owner, so there's no issue of adding more money for its redemption when they're not redeemed in the first place. So therefore, there is no allowance for their being sold in shops and weighed on scales. So you see from here that we treat a Bechor Balmum differently than we treat standard meat. There's a restriction, and it's because of this difference in the way we treat it that it will be spared from destruction based on the word behemta. But for us, the main point is that we don't have a source describing a bechor tam bizman beis hamikdash. And we therefore go on in the Gemara, Meisve, another question on Rav Nachman. Just to review, Rav Nachman has said that a Bechor, Tam, Bizman, Beis HaMikdash, the Kohen, has no holding in it. And therefore, he would not be allowed to sell it. Meisve, we have a Tanaic source, Umualo Mal Bashem. We have this pasuk quoted on the side of our Gemara. This deals with someone who swears falsely, someone who was entrusted with an article to watch for someone and then denied having it through an oath. If the denial of having something is something that will cause a loss to his friend, to someone else, so then this pasuk applies. Looking at the pasuk, it says nefesh kisechta umwalo ma b'Hashem v'chichesh b'amiso, means he denies b'amiso, he denies to his friend. So it's he counters his friend's claim through an oath. B'pikadon b'tzumes yad b'gezel oshakes amiso. We want to focus on just one of the examples. He denies having his friend's pikadon, something that he was asked to watch. So now we go back into the source. It says umualo moa bashem the rabbis kochim kalim shehein momon bailin divrei Rabbi Yosi Aglili. This includes a person who was asked to watch someone's light level sacrificial animals, kochim kalim, for example shlomim, korban toida, meiser behema, different types of kochim kalim. And he was asked to watch it. Someone gave it, entrusted it to him, and then he swore that he doesn't have it, and he lied in that oath. he's called Chikichesh Ba'amiso. And that's what Mamon Baila means. It's something that's considered, even though it's destined to be a sacrifice, it's nevertheless considered something owned by the individual. Ben Azai Omer, L'Rabois Shlomim. Ben Azai says that this pasuk is referring only to a case of Shlomim and not Meiser Behema. Abba Yosef ben Istoy Omer L'Omer Ben Azai Ela B'Vachor Bilvad. And this is really what we want to focus on. That the halacha of that which Ben Azai said, that we're marbe something, he's marbe, he includes in this pasuk as only the case of a bechor. The bechor would be considered his momon, and not, he won't include shlomim and meiser. So let's see, what are we talking about here? We would be talking about a kohen who had a bechor, and he had entrusted it to somebody to watch, and the person denied having it and was lying. That's called kichesh b'amiso, so he's denying something owned by the kohen, and in this case, the bechor. Now, as we've seen before in the sources quoted before, we delve into the circumstances, b'may askinon. What are we talking about? Ilem of Bizman Azeh. If you think that this is a nowadays source, Hodumya de Shlomim Kotani, in the same source we saw other opinions speak about a Korban Shlomim. And the Korban Shlomim is something that cannot exist Bizman Azeh. Elo, Pshita Bizman, Shebeis HaMikdash Kayam. Since this source, the other opinions make reference to other kinds of Korbanos, for example, a Korban Shlomim, it must be a Beis HaMikdash time period source. Uvemai Askinon, and what are the circumstances regarding the animals? E Lema Bebal Mum, if you think we're talking about a blemished animal, specifically a blemished firstborn, the case of the Bechor, we're talking about animals with a blemish, Hodum Yud Shlomim Kotani. But it speaks here in the source about a Korban Shlomim. And Rashi points out the Shlomim spoken about in this source is clearly something that's unblemished. Elo lav betam. This source is talking about animals that are unblemished. And specifically, the last opinion source spoke about a firstborn. We're talking about, therefore, about a bechor tam. Ushma mino, and we see from here, islay lekoyin zechiyah begavei. The kohen must have a holding in it. It's considered his item. How do I see that here? From the fact that the shomer, the watchman, denies having it through an oath. The pasuk says that this pasuk applies when you deny something owned by someone else. That's what v'chichesh be'amiso meant. So that the fact that there is a denial concerning something owned by the fellow who entrusted it, it shows us that the kohen who had this bechor had entrusted it to someone else. It's considered his own possession. And that's a kasha on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman has said that a bechor tam bizman beis hamikdash is something that is not owned by the kohen. The Gemara answers at the very top of Omid Beis, Omar Abaye. Abaye answers on behalf of Rav Nachman. He says, Loi, le'olam b'tam. In fact, we're talking about an unblemished animal. However, there's no kasha on Rav Nachman, because here we're talking about b'chor b'chutzo la'aretz Reb Shimon hi. This is featuring a firstborn that was born outside of Eretz Israel, and according to Rabbi Shimon di Omar, im bo'u tamimim yikrivu. If someone had brought into Eretz Israel a firstborn unblemished animal from outside the land of Israel, so it could be offered. However, l'chadchilo, it's not expected to be offered. And therefore, the kohen has a holding in it even when it's alive. But we're speaking specifically about a bechor in chutz la'aretz, which is not destined to being sacrificed. And in such a case, even Rav Nachman will concede that the kohen does have a holding in such a bechor. Mesvei, another question on Rav Nachman. In fact, this is question number 6. You can see this as indicated by the little 6 to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text that you see in a triangle. Also, this is a question that lasts a number of lines, as is indicated by the long question marking to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. Meisvei, Omar Loi, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. This is a quote from the Mishnah, where there was an interchange between the Tanoim, and we saw Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and we saw Rabbi Akiva, and he was arguing, Mali im eino meimar b'chatas v'asham. We understand that a person cannot do a tmura from the chatas and asham, sharein zochin bohen b'chayehem. The Kohen cannot make a tmura from a chatas and asham. It's true that the Kohen receives chatas and asham as a portion, as a gift after it's sacrificed. However, they don't have a holding in it when it's alive. Toimar b'vachor shezochin b'chayov. Can you say, though, that the same din would apply to a b'chor, which a Kohen does get when it is still alive? So since the Kohen gets it when it's still alive, he is able to make a tmura from it. B'maya skinon, what are the circumstances? If you think we're talking about a blemished b'chor, but in the same context, the source mentions a chatas and asham, which are offered as sacrifices, hence they're unblemished. Elolav, rather, b'tam. We're talking about an unblemished b'chor. V'katoni zochin bo b'chayov. It says that the Kohen has a holding in it when it's still alive. That's unlike Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said that a b'chor, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, which is unblemished, a b'chor, the Kohen, that is, has no holding in it because of its destiny to be sacrificed as a korban. Here we see that the Kohen does have a holding in it. Omar Ravina. Ravino answers in defense of Rav Nachman, Ho Nami, Bevachor, Bechutzel, La'aretz, Rabbi Shimon Hi. This source, like we answered before, is a Rabbi Shimon source. We're talking about a Bechor from Chutz La'aretz. The Omar Rabbi Shimon had said in Bo to Mimim Yikrivu, if they were brought unblemished into the Beis HaMikdash, so they would be offered. However, L'chadchila, they're not destined to be offered as a sacrifice. And as a result of that, even Rav Nachman will agree that a Kohen has a personal holding in such a Bechor. Lema ketanoi. You'll notice we have a long question marking. This is a question of, can we say, or should we say, the issue of the Kohen gaining ownership of an unblemished Bechor during the time of the Beis HaMikdash is a Tanaic controversy. In other words, Rav Nachman's din is not something everyone would agree with. Can we say that? So we have a source, 3 lines, Bechor, Beveis HaBailim, Oise Tmura, Beveis HaKohen, Ein Oise Tmura. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer, Kevon Sheba Lidei Kohen, Ze Veze, Ein Oise Tmura. Now, this source, on a very superficial translation level, is saying to the Tanakhama says that in the home of the owner, the owner of the herd in which the Bechor was born, so it can make Tmura. Tmura, we've spoken about quite a bit in the past, the idea of replicating the sanctity of a sacrificial animal onto another animal. So that the Bechor can be, Tmura can be made from a Bechor in the home of the owner, but not in the home of the Kohen. And then Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that, well, when it gets to the Kohen, it cannot be made into Tmura. Well, Hainu Tanakama, Rav Shimon ben Elazar seems to be saying the same thing as the Tanakama. My love, what must be, Hachi Komar, that thusly the Tanakama said, Beveis Kohen, Kohen hu oise tmura, v'ein baal oise tmura. That the Tanakama was saying, when it said in the source the Vase Kohen Ein Oisei Tmuros, it simply meant that when the Bechor gets to the Kohen, the original owner does not have any Tmura power anymore, but the Kohen who received it is now considered the owner of it, and hence he can make the Tmura. Well, that would indicate that the Kohen has a holding in it when it's still alive. So that the machlokas here is just like we suggested at the beginning of this long question. According to the Tanakhama, Islay the Kohen's Ribu Gavei, unlike Rav Nachman and Rav Shimon ben Elozer, would be like Rav Nachman. The Gemara rejects this. He says, Lo, beplukta de Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri v'Rabbi Akiva komifligi. The machlokas here parallels the machlokas between Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbi Akiva that we saw in the Mishnah. Now the main point though is that the Mishnah we established is talking about Bechor b'chutz laretz. And that point was made when the Gemara quoted on the third line from the top our Mishnah, the Rabbi Yochanan Nuri point, and at the end of that long question, Ravino had said that this is talking about a Bechor and Chutz Laretz. So only under those circumstances might you have an opinion that says that a Kohen has a holding in it. But if you were talking about a Bechor not in Chutz Laretz, but a Bechor born in Eretz Yisrael, then everyone would agree, says Rav Nachman, that the Kohen has no holding in it. You notice a slash mark, which indicates that that which follows is a new trend of thought. In the outside margin of our Gemara, we have a nosei, a topic heading. We haven't seen a nosei for a while because we were involved with a very long sugya that started back on Daf Zayin, for which the nosei was sufficient up till this point. And the nosei, topic heading, which we offer in the Shas Ozer, the Shas, the Gemara that appears on your screen, we offer topic headings from time to time. And here we have written, Dinoi Shel Rav Chisda, Ha Demutur Limkor Bechor Tam, that which we allow when we, the sale of an unblemished Bechor, Hainu Rak Kohen L'Kohen, V'lo Kohen L'Yisrael. This involves only a Kohen selling to a Kohen, but not a Kohen selling to a Yisrael. Another concept that will be discussed in this Gemara is the concept of Kohen HaMesayeya Beveis HaGronos. Let's just say a word about that idea. Literally, the translation of that expression is a Kohen who helps in the granary. We have a rule that a Kohen who happens to help someone in their granary, he helps them process the grains, he is not allowed to receive from that owner the Truma tithe. Because if he were to receive the Truma tithe, it would appear that the tithe is being used as a form of payment in exchange for his services. And that would be a desecration, a denigration of Truma, which has an element of holiness. Things that are holy are to be treated thusly and not treated as part of commercial transactions. Therefore, a Kohen a Maseh Beis HaGronos is not entitled to receive the Truma tithe from that particular owner. The Gemara. Omer of Chisda. Loi shanu, that a bechor can be sold, even unblemished, el a kohen l'kohen, a kohen selling to another kohen, aval kohen l'Yisrael, osur. But for a kohen to sell to a Yisrael, an unblemished firstborn, that would not be allowed. My taima. You'll notice we have a long question marking here, and this marking will be very helpful in learning the Gemara, because we will not discover the reason until after this long question marking. So why is it that a Kohen, why does Rav Chisda say that a Kohen cannot sell a Bechor Tam to a Yisrael? If you're fearful that the Israel will go and impose a blemish on it, umamti lechacham v'omer lo, and he'll then bring it to a chacham and say, oh, b'chor ze nosan li kohen v'mumo. This b'chor was given to me by a kohen with a mum in it. And therefore, you might think that we don't want Yisraelim receiving unblemished b'chors from Kohanim. Of course, it goes without saying, hopefully you are all familiar with the general background to this, that an unblemished b'chor is something that you're not allowed to benefit from, and in the time of the Beis HaMikdash you would have to bring it as a korban, as a sacrifice. Only if it develops a blemish, so can you benefit from it. So you can imagine the interest in having a blemished b'chor, because then you can slaughter it and benefit from its meat. So are you telling us here, is Rav Chisda telling us that a Kohen cannot sell to Yisrael because of this fear that the Yisrael will impose a mum, which is forbidden to do, by the way, that we should have emphasized earlier, it's forbidden to impose a mum, and this Yisrael will lie and saying that he received it from the Kohen with a mum in it, and therefore he plans to go ahead and eat it for himself. Well, that's not really a fear, because umi shori chacham hachi, would a chacham give a Yisrael such an allowance and tell him, okay, you can now go ahead and slaughter and eat it? Oh, my rav, ein royin b'chor li Yisrael, elim kein koyenimo. Chacham, a sage, doesn't rule concerning the status of a b'chor brought in by a Yisrael, unless there is a Kohen together with him. The Kohen must be present. And the Rabbeinu Gershom adds, toward the bottom of the page, he says, Elim ken hoya Kohen, shiyoymar ani nasati vlo b'mumon, the Kohen would say, yes, I gave it to him with the mum. So unless you have those circumstances, this Yisrael isn't going to even get an allowance, a ruling, a favorable ruling for him to go ahead and eat it. So what's the reason then that a Kohen cannot sell to a Yisrael? Omar Rav Huna Braid Rav Yeshua. Hainu Taimo the Yisrael Aser. For the following reason, it is also for the Kohen to sell to a Yisrael. That they should nire kekayin hamasayea bebeis hagronas. Rashi explains that the Kohen, who happens to have an unblemished b'chor, will have to wait a long time, possibly, until it gets a blemish. So you know what he might do? He might sell the b'chor to a Yisrael at a very reduced price. And the fear is that this very reduced price that the Yisrael will pay for the b'chor will motivate the Yisrael to give future b'choros specifically to this Kohen in exchange for the Kohen having given him a very reduced price on this b'chor. And because of that appearance, because of this, the appearance of the dual relationship, that in exchange for reduced price, Yisrael will then be motivated in the future to give b'choros to this Kohen specifically. This is called Kohen Mesubeis HaGronos, and as we mentioned as an introduction to this section, we mentioned that the owner of a granary is not allowed to give to the Kohen the Truma tithes in exchange for the Kohen helping him out. So we have the same concept of something done in exchange for, concerning items that are basically holy, the Trumos, and in this case, the Bechor. So we don't want to create an impression where the Yisrael will be indebted to the Kohen in the future because of the low price the Kohen is selling the Bechor, this particular unblemished Bechor, to the Yisrael. The Yisrael will thereby be motivated to give future Bechoros, his own future firstborn births, to this particular Kohen. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a long marking. You notice to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara the word Maisa written, Maisa, an incident, and a vertical dashed line indicating that this Maisa, this incident, is something that preoccupies the Gemara till the very top of Tes Amud Aleph. Marzutra Ikla Lebei Ravashi. Marzutra went to the home of Ravashi, Omru Lei. They offered Marzutra, Lito Mar Midi, have something to eat. Aisu Lekameh Bisra, they brought to him some meat. Omru Lei, Lechumar, the Mivri Mishum Debuchruhu, eat from it, it's healthy, it's healthful, because it's from a firstborn. In other words, there was this perception that meat from a firstborn is healthier than other kinds of meat. So this is your opportunity to eat something very healthful. Omar lehu mina lechuha. So Marzutra says, where'd you get this from? You're not Kohanim. Kohanim are the ones that get Bechor. Omru lei dezavan lon ploni kohen. So-and-so Kohen sold it to us. Omar lehu. So Marzutra said to them, lo svira lechu ha diyamar Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yeshua. Do you not hold from what Rav Huna b'reid Yeshua said, m'nei shenira k'kohen m'sei b'is ha'gronas, that receiving a Bechor from the Kohen is actually forbidden, because that will motivate you to give him Bechoros in the future. Omru lei, so they said to Marzutra, lo sviro lon. Well, we don't hold from this problem. Danan mizvan ko zavninon. We paid for it. He didn't give us this as a gift. If he had given us the Bechor as a gift, so then there's room to worry that this will motivate us to, in the future, give to that particular Kohen all of our firstborn male animal births. And that would be a problem of Kohen Mesebe Segronus. But we paid for it. Omar Lahu, so Marzusha says back, Velo svira lechu hadisnan, do you not hold from the following? The Tanaic source, and following it will be some Gemara commentary, will make this question clear. And by the way, we have a long question marking here. To the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a kuf, it's encircled with a descending vertical dashed line, you'll see the length of the question. So Marzutra says, but okay, I hear that you paid for it, but don't you hold from the following? How long is a Yisrael in whose flock or herd is a firstborn is born? How long is he expected to take care of it? Bedaka, sheep and goats, shloishim, 30 days, and only after 30 days do you give it to a kohen. Ubegasa, chamishim yom, and if it's a cow, a large type animal, it's 50 days. Only after 50 days does the Yisrael then give it to a Kohen. The Im Omar lo Teneu li b'soch zmano, and if the Kohen were to say, listen, give it to me early. In other words, I'll be taking the burden of care off of your hands. You just give it to me early. Hare ze la yitnenu lo, you're not allowed to give it to the Kohen early. V'yomar av sheshes matam, why is it also to give it to the Kohen early? B'nei shenira k'kohen emasayeya b'beis agronus. It looks like the Kohen is trying to do a favor for the owner of this Bechor. And as we explained earlier, in exchange for the favor of taking the Bechor off his hands early, that will motivate this owner to give this particular Kohen, is doing him a favor now, to give the Kohen future Bechoros. And that situation is forbidden. So, like, aren't you people worried by having bought the Bechor from the Kohen that that you are doing that you're creating a situation of Kayan Maseh Beis Agronis. Now the Rashi points out very close to the bottom, Kikoyin Masayaya, the Hashtavisua. Now you are providing a benefit, Shimatsilo Militrachbo Vivat Shit Nanulo. You're by taking this Kohen, by taking this Bechor from the Kohen, you are saving the Kohen from troubling himself with it. And this is most likely in anticipation of your giving him your Bechoros in the future. So they said back, Omru Lei, the hosts said to Marzitra, Hasa Mukha Milsa, in the case that was featured in the source of the Kohen taking the Bechor from the Yisrael prematurely, that's obvious, an obvious favor. As Rashi says, Dehu Misdeho Maseahu, it's clear that he's helping. Shorei miyad matzlimin atorach v'amazonos. He's immediately saving the owner from having to take care of the bechor and spending money on its feed. However, the Gemara continues, Hocha mizvan koz avninon. We paid for it. We bought it from the Kohen. Loshon Acher, Omru Le. This is another version of the give and take. Hocha lo yohiv domi. In the case that it's forbidden, so no money was paid, and therefore it appears that a favor is being done. Hocha ko yohiv domi. Here we paid money for it. So we're not doing the Kohen a favor by taking the Bechor from him. We are paying for it. My Amris, what is left to say? Dilma Moizel Kohen Gabei, that maybe the Kohen is giving us a very cheap rate. And why would the Kohen give us a very cheap rate? The Sovar Kohen Dechi Havin Lei Bechor Achrinu Yoiv Nehali. The Kohen figuring that when these people have future firstborns in their herds or flocks, they will give it specifically to me, which would be a problem. Loi, that's not what is happening. Why? The Masik Adaite, what occurs to people is butsina tov mikora. We'll explain that by learning the Rashi. Rashi, you find at the very top of Daf Tes, butsina, the hashta, the small vegetable now, tov mikora de la mocher, is better than the big one later. Butsina equals dalas ketana. Butsina is a small dalas. Dalas is a type of vegetation. It's a small one before it's grown to its full size. Kora is the same thing, however, it's dalas gedoyla, klomar. And this is the mindset. Mutov she'emkirenu b'shavyo. The Kohen, in this story that's sold to the hosts, to the Bei Rav Ashi, he is not going to sell it at some type of reduced rate because of hoping in the future he'll get the Bechoros from these people. Rather, it's to my benefit, figures the coin, that I'm going to sell it at market value. Deshemo imani maniach lohem min adomim. Because why should I give them a cheap rate, a discount? Lo yo'ilu li klum, v'yolo yidnu li Bechoros shalom. Who says that in the future they will in fact give me their Bechoros? I'd rather, you know, make a quick dime than a long dollar. So he'd rather sell it right now to make the quick profit, so to speak, or benefit from it, than what you suggested might be a problem of Kohen HaMaseh B'Beis HaGronos, Namely, the Kohen would be selling it at a cheap rate in exchange for getting future Bechoros from these people. Therefore, the hosts, namely the Bei Rav Ashi, argued to Mar Zutra that there's no reason that you shouldn't be eating from this Bechor meat. Are you afraid that somehow we are doing some kind of favor here? No, we paid for it. And not only did we pay for it, but we paid good money for it. We didn't get any reduced rate that would cause you to suspect that maybe there is some kind of deal here where we would give the Kohen our future Bechoros. He didn't give us any reduced rate because a person doesn't think like we had suggested that maybe I'll give them a cheap rate in order to get Bechoros in the future. People would rather make the quick deal, quick profit now than some type of longer increased profits later on. Therefore, once again, they offered, Bei Rav Ashi offered Mar Zutra to eat from the Bechor meat. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.